Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Another hot one. My Echo device in the office, as I was about to leave today, a little after 3, said it was 100 degrees in Auburn. That's not the heat index. That was the temperature. So it is a hot one. And you need to be careful if you're going to be out for any length of time in this heat. Did you bring my mic way, way down? Yeah, I was going to say. All of a sudden, yeah, it sounded... I couldn't hear myself. That's fine for us to bring it down. That's fine. That should be good. I just don't want it to be too hot, but definitely want it to be where I can hear it through the headphones. I was telling Jason. All right, so it's Bill and Jason Caldwell here in hour number one. Dan is at the AEW match over in Atlanta. He and the Justin Ferguson
The wrestling crew.
Yeah, the wrestling crew has gone to Atlanta. Justin Lee and Justin Ferguson and Dan are over there, and they have prime seats. Because Dan contacted them and said, hey, I'm with ESPN 106.7, and they sent him credentials. So they've got credentials. So he said, look for them tonight on TBS between 7 and 9. You might see them. He said they're probably somewhere near the ring.
All right, so my first wrestling watching in 25 years might happen tonight.
Yeah, I may
or
too.
Not watching.
Well, the thing is, what I may do is I may record it, so that then if somebody says, "Hey, they popped up at such and such a time," I'll look at it. I mean, I think you might be able to spot Dan in the crowd.
They might try to drag him.
Get
on.
Get him in. Yeah, no kidding. All right, so we've got it here early, and then. We've got some audio for a little later on, because today was the only media opportunity for us this week, and until Hugh Freeze's press conference, first of his weekly press conferences next Monday. And we had, was it 5 or 6 players today?
Six players.
Mm-hmm. It was, all right, so you had 3 offense, 2 defense, and a special team. That's right. Including Peyton Thorne. First time we've had a chance to spend some time with Peyton Thorne. And we've got 20-plus minutes with Peyton Thorne. Very interesting. I tell you, he answered. I was going to ask the question, but Nathan asked it just before I did, because Spector was asking yesterday, why would Peyton Thorne have left Michigan State, and why did he come to Auburn? So, I mean, he answered that.
Yeah, and, you know, we got some insight into Auburn from Phillip's story earlier this week.
Oh, yeah, some great insight.
Yes, it was really good. If people haven't read it, go check it out, because Phillip talked to you know, Peyton's dad and talked about a really strong Auburn connection.
Right.
And
the Thorns and the Lutzenkirchens.
The Lutzenkirchens, and so there's a big connection there. So that was a lot of it, but, yeah, there's a lot more in there. And so – you'll get a chance to hear from him here. We got video on our YouTube page you can check out as well if you want to watch it. But my initial takeaway is that when you sign a transfer quarterback, that's the personality that you hope you're getting when you bring a guy in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was calm. He was poised. He was confident, not cocky, but I mean, you can tell he's pretty sure of himself, but he really exudes the leadership
of a guy that's been there
traits.
Before. That's it.
Yes.
He looks like a guy that's been there before, even though he hasn't here. You can see that experience of going into a season, even though he's only been with these guys on the field a month, less than a month, but you can see a guy going, Okay, I know what to expect when we get into games. Now, it's going to be new teams and new opponents and those things, but you see a guy that I think goes into a season knowing how to prepare himself for a season. And I think the other thing, too, we've heard it all this time, but I think that has brought some of those things out of Robbie Ashford and Holden Garner as well. I think being
right.
in that
well,
room
agree.
For them, I think watching a guy that approaches it that way, I think it's been a big benefit to the entire quarterback room.
Yeah, so if we get an opportunity, we'll let you hear some of that a little later on. But, yes, it was Jay Fair, who we've heard an awful lot about this fall, who has really stepped up and is going to be in the – there's no question. He is one of the main guys at wide receiver. And then the anchor of the offensive line, another transfer in Avery Jones. But he was here this spring, and he talked – you know, he talks about, you know, bringing everybody together. I mean, the offensive line, Jason, I mean, all fall long, I've heard nothing but, you know, praise and confidence in this new offensive line.
I don't know that, well, I know this. There's not a group on this roster that has changed as much as the offensive line since the season ended last year.
Oh, you're right.
There's not a group that's changed as much, and I don't think a group has progressed as much since the beginning of the spring as the offensive line has. When you talk about, I think there's now 15 scholarship guys with the loss of Garner
right.
Langlo. 10 of the 15 are guys that weren't on the roster last year, which is incredible.
Wow.
It's amazing to think about. But you think about the additions, and you know, I think the development of a guy like Xavier Miller, too tall at right tackle. When you start thinking about offensive line coaches, I mean, I think about going all the way back to kind of Hugh Nall and others that have come through here coaching offensive line. And the goal is to find your best five, and can you get your best five on the field together? Sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes your best five may all be, you know, 6'6 guys, not normally. But I think about a few years ago, LSU wound up moving to get a center that Auburn had recruited as an offensive tackle, and he wound up playing center for a long time, Ethan Potick. But I think, you know, we've seen it in the past at Auburn where Kendall Simmons slid out and played tackle. But he was one of the best five, and they had probably better fit at guard, and he wound up playing in the guard in the NFL. I think about Dylan Wade as being that guy now going, that guy, because he's probably going to be a guard on the next level, but he's absolutely one of your best five, and he's probably your best tackle for this group. So you put him at left tackle, but the you know, too tall Xavier Miller development at right tackle, Gunnar Britton, slide inside, compete at guard, maybe. I think we'll see in game one on September 2nd, I think we'll see 8 or 9 different offensive linemen play in some different, not in scrub duty. I think we're going to see some rotations on the offensive line just to see what it looks like, because I think they feel good about 8 or 9 guys, which group plays together the best, which one performs the best. Does it look better with Too Tall and Jeremiah Wright at guard? Does it look better with Gunnar Britton at right tackle and Tate Johnson at left guard? Or, I mean, like, there's going to be some options for this offensive line.
What are you thinking now? I mean, we heard that Andy told us yesterday that it was the group that we saw there at the end of practice Thursday that went through the scrimmage mostly as the ones, with Too Tall at the right tackle and Gunnar Britton at left guard.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the way it starts, in my opinion. I think we'll see that. Then I think we'll see – Gunnar Britton slide back to tackle, maybe a Jeremiah Wright move into left guard. I think we'll see some different combinations of those guys, and wouldn't be shocked to see a, you know, Jaden Muskrat get into the mix a little bit too. I know they really like him, but he's played tackle, he's played guard. So I think we'll see some, like I said, I think we'll see some rotation there. I think we'll see rotation at running back. I think we'll see rotation at wide receiver. And I think we'll see rotation at quarterback. I think on the offensive side of the ball, and I think everywhere probably but the secondary, we're going to see a bunch of guys roll maybe early against UMass as they kind of look to see what they've got when they actually turn the lights on.
Yeah, so 10 days. It's great to think. We're just 10 days away. So, yeah, we'll talk. We'll take your phone calls. Love for you to join in here in hour number one, which is brought to you as usual by Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And you can call in on the Kia of Auburn hotline. That number, 334-321-1390. You can text us on the Drive text box, and that number is 334-564-1840. And the Drive text box brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who are also the sponsors of our podcast. So hope you'll be joining us here this afternoon. As we said, we've got some audio we can run from, I mentioned the offensive players, defensively Cam Riley, Nehemiah Pritchett, and then punter Oscar Chapman. We're also over there today.
Yeah, no, we got a chance to talk to a lot of different folks, and so it'll be good, I think, to get a full assessment maybe of this team and kind of especially the feel for some of these guys heading into that opener.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you can we'll run some. I know you guys have tons of info as audio, video, and stories about all the players.
Correct. Yeah, we've had a couple of Peyton Thorne things already. We'll have more from that. And like kind of Nathan say, hey, you jump on Peyton Thorne. I wrote something about the wide receivers. We'll have something on the offensive line. And, I think some thoughts on special teams too, because I think this has a chance to be, from a kicking game standpoint, a really good group when you combine him and Alex McPherson. But, then the return game with Brian Battee and his potential there. Can you imagine the potential of Brian Battee and Jarquez Hunter back together and saying, okay, Jarquez Hunter was a dynamic guy when he has a chance to return kickoffs. Maybe you put those guys back there together.
Who do you kick away from?
You're not going to kick away from anybody doing that. Yeah.
Really. We'll get to our first break here of the afternoon. Love for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
This is Dan Peck, ESPN 106.7, and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 16 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover 24/7 Sports. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for me not to say, inside the Tigers.
I said this morning, I did Rob, podcast with Rob Brown. I said, inside the Auburn Tigers will always be here in my heart.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll always be a part of me, but just not part of the business model right now. And so moving on its own, strictly online and doing everything there. But, that'll always – hey, I'm still ITAT Jason on Twitter, so I don't know.
Oh, there you go. You don't have to chase that. No, I mean, the thing is, once people know where you are anyway
– That's it.
Know who you are.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you don't need to change that. As we said, 10 days away, we've got actually college football. You've been going to some high school games. Man, it is hotter this week than I can recall at this time of year in a long time.
Well, you know what? This time of year would have been the middle of camp.
Well, you're right. You're right about that.
And I was thinking about that this morning. I went, thinking about it to 80s and even into the 90s, this would be the middle of camp. It'd be the dog days of camp.
Mm-hmm.
High schools would be starting in 2 weeks, and then Auburn would be starting the in 3 weeks. You'd be the second week. It'd be that week after Labor Day kind of.
Yeah.
But we talked about this before. In the 80s, I remember coming, and the band wouldn't be here till week three.
Right.
Because the quarter system.
But when we were on the quarter system, school didn't start until like game three.
Yeah, and you're still September 7th or 8th was usually the first game, somewhere around in there. And now you're talking about 5 or so days, but high school football has moved up 2 weeks, and Georgia's 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's crazy. Last
Wednesday night, a week ago, we were in.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't had you on since that. You told me that was a long day and night.
It was a long game when you put a high school opener and you put it on TV, / streaming, with all the timeouts, with penalties and cramping and those kind of things. It was every bit of 4 hours. It was a long night. So we didn't leave Marietta till after 11 o'clock Central Time. So the game kicked off at 7 o'clock Central Time. So it was a late one, but good opportunity to see Jalen Crawford, Auburn commitment. Bunch of other players on that team. Mike Matthews, the 5-star wide receiver. A couple of really young, impressive players there. And then we went to Highland Home last Friday night. Actually, we were in Troy, but they played a jamboree game, a scrimmage game. So we got a chance to talk to, Caleb Falk and get some things ready for this week. And he was kind of hinting at it a little bit. And then we walked off to the side, and he just like, War Eagle. And so then I got some things to get ready for his commitment this week, and really impressive 2025, and got a really good teammate as well, CJ May. So kind of started.
Man, that's amazing for a small, for a small school to have that kind of talent.
I felt so bad for, you know, they were at Troy and played the former AISA school in Troy that has moved up to, they're, I think, in limbo now for AHSAA, but where Drew Nelson went to school and, you know, some of those. And I felt so bad because it was 28-0 6 minutes into the first quarter, and I'm thinking, I mean, there's not one player on the roster that measured up, and you got two of those guys on defense, a couple of other really good athletes. I think Highland Holm, their quarterback's a pretty tough little kid, really good athlete, plays safety too. Highland Holm, in my opinion, is going to be really hard to beat. I think Highland Holm and Elba in the South, obviously.
Are they the same size?
I think they're the same size.
Okay, I was thinking Elba was a little bigger.
I know they played in the playoffs a couple of years ago. But yeah, I think their Elba is now back down to 2A. But when you start looking at it, I mean, they'll have a chance to be there deep into the playoffs, and both those guys are just juniors.
Wow. Well, talk a little bit about Ja'Caleb, who made it official on Monday.
Yeah, impressive when you think of 2025 and 6'3", 225 already. That, you know, I think about this a good bit when watching high school kids, is that there's some guys you look at and you go, I don't know what's left. You know, if you're at a big powerhouse school and you're playing against great competition, that's a great thing. But it usually means you've also been one sport. You focused on that one position. Mm-hmm. You haven't had to play both ways.
If you're at a big school, you've had some weight training.
Pretty good weight training and a training table where they give you snacks during the day and things like that. And I got thinking, okay, how much is left for guys like that? And then you look at it, and Highland Holm does a great job, but you're still playing both ways. He's playing wide receiver. He's playing basketball. You're doing those things during the day. We've seen what happened with his older brother. You know,
oh yeah.
You look at
Keldrick he's a man. He came in a very impressive young man. He looks like a grown man.
Completely
now.
Different. And hey, his body's going to change between now and next year too. Mm-hmm. He's going to do some things there. But I think you look at him, and I think Jack linebacker for him down the road because of his size and athletic ability coming off the edge. And you look at it for Auburn. You know, they've done a whale of a job in getting that position to where it's competitive this year by bringing in transfers. But then you go, well, they're all going to be gone.
That's right.
And so now, Jalen McLeod could still be around. He still has another year. But you start thinking about, okay, the future.
But there's a possibility that he's not. Yes. There's no guarantee.
If you're Auburn, you go, I kind of hope that guy's not here. That would mean he'd have a monster year season.
Yeah.
But you go Joseph Phillips in this 2024 class, then add in a 2025 and Ja'Caleb Faulx, putting those guys – behind each other.
Yeah, you better hope Brent Williams
is still there, but he may get too big. He's gotten bigger already.
You may need to find another experienced guy.
They're going to have to go get another one, I think, before next year, especially depending on what McLeod does. But yes, I think he's a guy that steps in there and adds to a position that is an important one in every defense, which is that edge, jack, rush in kind of guy. And I think he'll be a good one.
You know, Steven Sings is a guy that hasn't been talked about as much. It's been Jalen McLeod, early on, Elijah McAllister. But Sings is a guy that Coach Freeze said last week was applying the pressure because the other guys, well, I guess Jalen wasn't out there. And you didn't have Keldrick either, even though he's a strong side end now.
Yeah, Steven Sings has been as a matter of fact, I just wrote a little something about him and something we're doing tomorrow about, one of the guys that's impressed me this camp. And it's been him because, you heard about Jalen McLeod.
Right.
Elijah McAllister was here. And you bring in Steven Sings and you go, well, he played with Freeze and at Liberty.
That's just familiarity and depth.
You see him, and I think he has the best of both worlds. I think he's athletic and physical enough that he can – play
every down.
I think that's
one thing. It's because Elijah seems like he's your edge setter against the run, and Jalen is your pass rusher.
Yeah, I think Steven Sings is a guy that gives you both of those things. He's a little bit more physical body at about 255 or so, but he's athletic enough. And Elijah McAllister has shown a little bit of pass rush wiggle in preseason camp too, and so that's good. But Sings is a guy that I think has really come on, and that's become a position that I think can do some damage for this team. Obviously, the defensive line as a whole has got to continue to come on. But there's guys there. I think there's potential there. Can they kind of find the right formula, and can they find somebody to step up? But I do think those guys at that jack spot have done a good job.
Jason, what is your take? Something we've talked about and sort of tossed this out a few times. And it's one of the things that Coach Freeze has talked about coming out of scrimmages. You know, no matter what, he's going to have some concerns because of the offense. The defense is great. You worry about the offense. The offense is great, vice versa. And the offensive line sounds like they've been pretty well running the ball, especially. Is it a concern because Auburn was not really very good against the run last year defensively?
Yeah, I think it's a little concern. But I think it's a little bit just from talk, even before practice started, I think there was a confidence that this offensive line was going to have a chance to run the football, to mm-hmm. be physical, by the pieces that were put together. And in this running back group, it's not an – if you lined them up, it's maybe not an imposing group to look at physically.
Yeah, they're not 6'3", 225 pounds.
You don't have a bunch of Derrick Henrys and, right. and Eric Dickerson-looking guys back there. But you look at them, and this is the type of – really, in all honesty, for my life, the majority of successful running backs, if you took an average of them, would be around 5'8", 5'9", 200 pounds. When you think about the best, Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, I mean, there's a lot of those guys have been yeah. around that size. Now, there's obviously examples that go the other way. But I think about Jarquez and Damari Austin, Brian Battee, you know, Sean Jackson still there, and then you add in Jeremiah Cobb, and I think this is a group that's going to be able to run the football. And you can give some folks a lot of different looks, especially when you mix in multiple tight ends with Luke mm-hmm. Deal and Fairweather and Tyler Fromm. Just a little bit, we're out there. We have seen four or five tight ends. We saw three or four running backs. I mean, they're going to give folks a lot of different looks. And then, you know, I write about wide receivers today, and I mean, eight or nine of those guys.
I mean,
I think you look at eight and go, there's eight, I feel like, right now.
If Camden Brown's healthy, they're eight.
Yeah. And so when you think about the things you can do and run it, folks, especially with tempo, not surprising that they've been able to run it, but you would like to have had. And we did see some of that the day we were out there. We saw the defense bow up a few times mm-hmm. and make a few plays. I thought that was good to see.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Love for you to join in. Bill and Jason. Jason with us for hour number one. So you can get your questions or comments in. Again, a little later on, we're going to run some audio for you from the players we had a chance to spend some time with today. So we'll do that as we move on through here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. 29 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Yeah. Be careful if you're out and about. Stay hydrated. I was telling Jason this earlier. It's like yesterday. Now Jason's out in it all the time, and I generally have enough sense. But yesterday, I got home and the wife said, "Hey, we need to water because I mean it hasn't rained in a few days and it's not going to rain for a few days. So if you've got some things that wilt or die." They're going to, and maybe sometimes even if you water them. Anyway, so we went to water, and I realized, man, there are a lot of weeds and mimosas. You know what I'm talking about? The little
green, is it the green plant?
Yeah, it grows up and is very neatly looking fronds and has purple it grows into a tree.
But on the ground, they're little green leaves,
little
right?
green, yeah. Mm-hmm. They look like little baby ferns.
Correct, yes. Yep.
And they make a neat tree. In the house we were in before we moved to our current house, we had a big mimosa right out at the back, right by the water. And it was a cool tree. The boys could climb up in it. It had the neatest looking leaves and flowers. And I said, and I probably should have, I regret that I ever said this. I said, boy, I wish we had one of those wherever we went. Man, I can't get rid of those things. There are like hundreds of them all over the place. But back where I went to unroll the hose, and I've got one of the hose roll things, you know, but you have to turn it on and pull the hose out. She didn't want to walk back in there because it can be looks a little snaky because it's sort of natural along the back of the house. And, man, I had tons of those things. I pulled up a few, and when you pull up a few, you got to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So I went like 45 minutes of doing that last night, right after I got home. And I mean, I was not glistening. I was sweating profusely. Fortunately, we have a pool. I went and got in the pool, cooled down, felt great, came in, was so tired though, didn't even really want any supper, just sat down, had a bowl of cereal, got comfortable in the chair, watched a couple of shows, went to bed. And then about an hour later, my body went, you didn't hydrate. Oh, man, all night long. I was, every 45 minutes, it was like an alarm. 10:30, 11:15, 12. I can tell you those 12:45, 1:30, 2:15, 3, 3:45, 4:30. Every one of those times I'm up, you know, trying not to scream too loud while I'm hoping I can stand and get the cramp out.
It is one of the things I learned back in high school from, you know, and then coaching a little bit too.
I told Kathy about tennis. Exactly your thing.
And they're going to go like, if you have to catch up, it's too late already because you can't catch up hydrating.
But that's funny. You can't catch up, but you can mustard.
Mustard and pickle juice will help you catch up.
I do not like mustard.
Yeah.
I like pickles is fine.
Yeah.
Pickles is fine. But I just didn't think about it. I mean, I was just tired and I'd gotten cool in the pool. It's one of those things. You know, if you come in and take a shower, you're still hot and sweating and you're thinking, and that's when I go, I need to go ahead and, you know, knock back a couple of Gatorades or something like that. But by the middle of the night, it's a little too late for that. I mean, even when you try it, it doesn't work. Then you have to get up for other reasons. But, I mean, man, it was miserable. So be careful if you're out in this stuff. Like I said a while ago, it was 100 degrees, at least according to Amazon, at 3 o'clock. And the heat index is, you know, in the 105 to 110 range. They're practicing in this stuff, Jason. I was thinking, well, maybe Coach Freeze is trying to give us a break by not subjecting us to this heat.
Yeah, and they've done a good job of doing some things inside, moving outside, moving
it's
back.
It's great
inside
to be able to
bit.
Have that facility
and,
right
you
there.
Know, and in the, you know, the, you know, the high school coaches, I talked to a few of those, and yeah, I mean, it's going to be really hot on Friday night, but they've had to practice in this to get used to it, and you know, they take precautions.
You got heat breaks too.
They do all those things to try to prepare for it. And so, yeah, it's going to be warm. And for folks going out Thursday night and Friday night, you better hydrate just like the players
do. Better.
But, you know, they have taken those precautions. And here's the thing about it too is when you get into a game, it's only half your team. When you're practicing every day, it's everybody. When you get into a game, if you can rotate some guys in and out, then it's just – your offense and defense. Now, some of these small schools, that's everybody anyway,
right.
but they have
to. Yeah, the bigger schools, you're right. And that's one of the things Coach Freeze was talking about the other day. I was interested by his comments. How do you take his comments about the team just sort of being flat when they've gone over to the stadium for both scrimmages?
I think heat a little bit has to do with that. But it is, I mean, it's a big place. And you got guys that are in there. I mean, there's 42 players in there for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's just scholarship guys. And so I think that, and you know, Saturday morning, you know, 9:30 heat index. I mean, the first one was one of the hottest days that since they've been recording it that they've had at Auburn on the stadium turf. I mean, that's how warm.
Yeah,
that day was.
And you mentioned, I mean, they've got the air conditioned facility right there next where players can go in and out,
but not at the stadium.
Not at the stadium, and they didn't have misters or fans or anything over there either.
Yeah, it wasn't like a game day where you're, you know, prepared. You go in at halftime, you do those things, go into pregame. I mean, they went from warm up pregame straight into a scrimmage, and it was a pretty long one. So I think it's part of that, and some of that I think was probably okay for the coaches. And I mean, Hugh Freeze is a guy that will use a little bit of that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're sure not going to want to let the players hear that everything's fine. We don't need to improve anywhere.
But I will say this, and we talked about it Saturday. Saturday was the most honest, informative post scrimmage press conference that I can remember in way over.
Hey,
a
he gave us stats. He gave everything. Us injuries. He gave us.
It was everything that you could have hoped for. I mean, and we knew a lot of it already. I mean, because there were lots of folks in there. It was a scholarship day, but to come out and say, hey, here's what these guys did, and you know, obviously when you go, hey, he was 7 for 11. He was, you know, 5 for 13 or whatever it was. We got a chance to see some, you know, hear some actual numbers, and I thought it was pretty refreshing to hear a coach go, hey, here's what happened. I think his post games are going to be really
a lot more interesting. I think.
Yeah, and you know, and there's only, you know, I don't know that it'll be, hey, how did you think this guy played? Because that's hard for coaches to do until they watch it on film. But I do think we'll get some honest answers about what they saw.
Now, you mentioned earlier, and Jason Caldwell, of course, from Auburn Undercover and 24/7 Sports here. You can join us by calling the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. You were talking about quarterback rotation, and that's something I do think. I don't know exactly if you would say it's a set, you know, this many series or something like that, but I have really no doubt that Robbie Ashford is in the game plan, and it's I don't think it's just a third and short or something like that.
I don't think it's Malik Willis where you run him in for a first down play
and then take him out.
And no, I think when Robbie Ashford's in the game, it is going to be, here's the plan for Robbie Ashford. Even if it may not be a full series, but it may be 4 or 5 plays in a row where you go tempo and you run some zone read, you throw a ball off a fake, whatever it is. I think that's the plan, and it's I think it's going to be more than just, hey, here's a third and short. Here's a
everybody in the stadium knows
a first down
what we're
goal
do.
Line quarterback run or whatever it is. No, I think you're right. I think it's going to be more than that. I don't know that it's going to be 30 plays, but I could see 10 to 15 plays.
See 15.
I could see that where he's in the game and doing some things. And here's the other part: if you look up in those 10 plays, you've moved the ball 85 yards and maybe scored a touchdown or two.
Then
the second
more.
Half, the second half may add more to that, especially for this team. If that running ability stays, and you're able to run the ball like that, then in my opinion, then you might start to see a little bit more Robbie Ashford to mix along with a team that can already run it. Then you put a guy like that in the mix, and all of a sudden you add an extra dimension to the run game. I mean, it could open up a few more things.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued, and that's one of the things that we had a couple of questions about the crowd with this heat. Well, first of all, I don't think it's supposed to be as hot next week.
No, I actually looked, and it, right now, fingers crossed, it says like 87.
Yeah, upper 80s. And I mean, that means the heat index will be in the 90s, but I mean, that's 20 degrees. That's 20 degrees cooler than what we're, you know, feeling right now.
Yeah, they'll be wearing jackets at 87
degrees.
Nah,
I don't know
about
that.
But no, right now, let's see, on the second going forward, 87, 67.
Oh, that's,
So if you do that, then you're talking about, I mean, you know, 10 degrees difference, heat index probably even, you know, more than that down. That would be very welcome.
I thought it was funny when Coach Freeze said, you know, he wanted it hot except for the fans.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't mind if UMass comes down and it's, you know, sweltering and humidity, but yeah, I think the interest that I've, you know, just felt from the Auburn fan base is they're not going to be a whole lot of empty seats at the start of the ball game.
No, I agree. I've seen, and when there's people talking about it around town.
Yep.
Talking to my wife about it, just, you know, kind of random folks that maybe don't even know what I do. And all the football conversation talks up. It's a reminder of how important Auburn football is for this community.
Mm-hmm.
We went through COVID, went through, you know, the last couple of years. I would say that Ron Anders is pretty close to the top of the list going, hey, I'd like to see some fun and excitement around Auburn
you
again.
Know it.
But it is. It's a part of the fabric of life, not only in Auburn, but in this state and people in Georgia. I mean, like anybody,
this part of the country.
Anybody that's connected to Auburn, but it does. And I think there is a much different feel than I've felt in quite a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement. Now, I know that Hugh Freeze and we've tried to now temper it a little bit. That doesn't mean that, I mean, Auburn has been very fortunate that they've had some amazing early success from coaches. That, you know, I think Auburn is going to be much better than they would have been. They may be much better than some people are expecting, but it's going to be difficult to think that all of a sudden you're going to go out there and you're going to be contending for, you know, for the SEC championship.
Yeah, and you know, because you look at it and you go, okay, what do you have to be to be one of those teams? You got to have this, 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 and this. What we don't know about this team is what any of that looks like. It could happen, but it's hard to think, well, yeah, it's absolutely going to happen because it's happened before.
And all these new pieces, and it does. It seems like, man, things have really been put together well, but you just don't know.
Correct.
Until you get out there and see how they really mesh.
Injury concerns,
yep.
All the things that factor in. And, you know, people talking about like LSU last year, go, well, look, it can happen. Well, that they went 9-3. I mean,
right.
I could see this team going 9-3.
Oh, I could too.
But there's a lot of difference between 9-3 and 12-0. I mean, that's a huge step to take.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And so, I mean, there's pieces. How quickly can those pieces come together? Can you withstand, you know, injuries?
You're going to have some. There's no way around it.
And here's the other thing. You start thinking, okay, you know, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, that's the three toughest games. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the three non-conference games, and, I mean, I'll throw Cal into the mix, but you go those three on one end, the three what you would consider the easiest games on the other end, and put Cal into the mix, and you go, okay, there's six games. How do you do in those six? Can you go 4-2?
You better go better than 3-3.
Can you go 4-2 in that group?
You can't go 2-4.
Yes, correct. And so because then you go, okay, and then you got to win one of those other ones, which is a possibility, but you start going 3-6-3. That's how you look. That's how I look at the schedule and going, how do you do in the middle six? Can you go 4-2? Can you go 5-1? I mean, you got the potential to win all those games. You could, but there's going to be a lot of close games in that sixth group, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't know how some things are going to work. You know, it's tough at times because you're so close to following one team. You look at that team and you go, well, these things are looking good, but you don't know how well some things might be coming together with other places. I mean, you've got huge questions at some spots.
That's it. Because here's what you don't know. What you don't know is because you're right. Everybody has questions. I don't care who they are. Georgia has questions.
Yep.
I mean, they
look
got
at all the players they lost last year. They just lost a running back for the year.
Well, they got a new starting quarterback, and he was a big time recruit. But you also have a new offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And it just hit me when we were sitting outside, and I was thinking about it. It makes me think back to 2003 a little bit when you think about Auburn. Hey, let's just keep it going. Let's have an assistant that's on staff, and we're going to run the same offense.
Yep.
Well, it's not his offense. And now all of a sudden, Todd Monken, well, everything's the same. Now Mike Bobo's a protege of Todd Monken. Okay, that's great. But it's not his offense.
And it's not the same quarterback.
Everything changes when all of a sudden you're the guy calling the play caller's gone. How does that work? I mean, you know, what happens there? You're right. There's still talent, and they're going to be good enough to run over 10 of the 12 teams they play.
And something else that I have to think myself and want to remind other people is that what Alabama has done over the last 15 years had never been done in the history of college football. Changing coaches, quarterback after quarterback coming along and never missing on one.
Here's the thing. They missed on some.
But then they had another guy.
But they had another guy ready.
But, I mean, the odds on that are unbelievable.
Correct.
I mean, everybody that seemed to have those quarterback factories, there'd be a few.
Sooner or later.
And all of a sudden there'd be a bump.
Sooner or later. And you go, okay, get to Alabama, the same thing. Okay, what happens at quarterback?
I mean, they don't know who their quarterback is right now. They got a new coordinator.
Hey, they had – first-round wide receiver after first-round wide receiver, multiple first-round wide receivers. Last year they didn't have those guys, even with the number one pick at quarterback, even with the best pass rusher in the country. They got 10 starters back at Alabama right now on this team. Okay, yeah, they've recruited well. Okay, but we saw last year, it wasn't just plug and play. They had to go get a few transfers here or there. There's question marks. LSU maybe has the fewest questions of anybody, but that was a team that, when I watched them in person, didn't blow me away last year.
No, Auburn could compete.
It was up
with 17
to nothing, yeah. Right? And so I think that there's questions all over the place. What does that mean? Honestly, I know less about how things are going to turn out now than I probably ever have, and that makes it maybe more exciting than ever.
I think I agree with you. I think the transfer portal has had a lot to do with that. I mean, you just don't know what team's roster is going to look like from season to season. We need to get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
You can help
Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final few minutes here of hour number one. Final few minutes with Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover and 24/7 Sports. Again, we were over at the complex today, getting a chance to talk to some of the players. Jason, who are a few of the players that you haven't had a chance to talk to that you'd like to
get? Shane Hooks.
Yeah, I mean
would
obviously
be number one.
Been one of the big one of the top players or the hot topics, most talked about players this fall.
I think he would probably be at the top of the list.
You've had a chance to
you think about
spend time with a lot of the players.
Yeah, so that would probably be I would be probably top of the list. I'm trying to think. I mean, we've had a pretty good selection other than that.
Yeah,
I
really has.
I think Shane Hooks would be probably the first one for me.
I'm thinking of guys
I don't know if I don't know if we've gotten Caleb Burton yet. I think maybe Caleb Burton as well.
No, you're right. I'm going to say a lot of the transfers that expect to be starters, we've had a chance to talk to.
Yeah, did we get Sings? Have we talked to Sings?
No.
That's probably the other one for me. I think most everybody else we've gotten a chance to talk to. I don't think we've got Larry Nixon.
No, I was just thinking that because we talked to Austin.
A few of those guys I think would be good. And I'd like to talk to Robbie Ashford. I think Robbie would be really good, especially the way he's responded.
It sure seems like he has responded the way Hugh Freeze wanted him to.
Yeah, so that's probably the guys I'd look forward to seeing. And, you know, we'll get some guys on Monday. Anxious to see who that is. But, yeah, we've had pretty good access in terms of players and those things. And, you know, now you kind of get into the nitty-gritty of camp time and getting towards the season. So, looking forward to just seeing some football. This team a lot to do for them between now and next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much for us other than start the game prep kind of things, which is always exciting. So the hard part's going to be breaking down UMass and doing a preview.
Watch
of
UMass and New Mexico State if you get a chance. A couple of Auburn opponents.
Got a game on Saturday, so that's one we'll have a chance to help with that. And I do not. There's no chance I'm going to say UMass's quarterback's name. It's the Clemson transfer. Correct. There you go.
Pullman Chan.
But really athletic guy, big physical kid. So that'll be interesting to see kind of what he brings to a roster that has a lot of new faces too. So get a chance to see two Auburn opponents go head to head. You know, right there in week one.
Jason, we're running short on time. I mean. It's been a great fall camp thus far with all the coverage, but I mean, you and all the guys do a great job. Talk about what folks can expect. Where are you headed this week?
Yep. Got a lot going on. We're going to take a road trip and, we're going to make a long road trip this week, going out to Arkansas. So we're going to go watch Walker White.
Oh, okay.
This one we've been kind of thinking about for a while. So we're going to head out there and watch him, get a chance to see him in person and figured, hey, if you're going to go that way, you need to go before the season starts. So, we'll have some stuff from Walker White and a chance to watch him, talk to him, do some things with him this weekend.
All right. And, of course, let everybody know where they can follow everything.
Yeah, find us at auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network, and also follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
Thanks, Jason. We'll have a good trip.
Yep,
and
thanks, guys.
We'll see you Monday, I guess.
See you Monday.
We're halfway done here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. We've got some audio we can play. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390, in hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover and 24/7 Sports being here in the studio for hour number one. You wonder where Dan is? Dan is at AEW tonight over in Atlanta. Yes, he and, as he says, he and the Justins, Justin Ferguson, who will be on with us tomorrow, and Justin Lee of the OA News are there in Atlanta for tonight's event there. They are credentialed. So they are there covering the event. Yeah, okay, whatever. No, they're going to have a blast this evening. He said keep an eye out, see if you see him on the screen. He won't be, you know, he won't be a giant. I mean, he won't be the only big guy there. That's the thing. I mean, Dan a lot of times stands out because, you know, he's bigger than an awful lot of folks. But you probably still notice him in the crowd. But we will see. We'll see if we see him tonight. He said, yeah, check out TBS between 7 and 9, and you might see him this evening there at the All Elite Wrestling.
Oh, great.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah. You.
That is correct.
So I was giving an opening statement or something?
Just talk about getting the job and how exciting that was when Coach Freeze, I assume, if I cover told you, you were the starter.
Yeah, you know, it was good to hear that from Coach and to have that conversation with him. It was nothing crazy, not a long conversation, but to hear that and kind of, you know, get past the whole competition of everything and you know, hearing about it and wondering about it. Obviously, I'm always going to be competing. I'm always going to be trying to play my best, so that doesn't change. But, you know, to be able to know when you're going in practice, you know, what group you're going with, I think that definitely helps, and it's good for the mind.
Yeah, Hugh said he felt like you were maybe pressing a little bit early on, and then this last scrimmage, you kind of a little more comfortable. Did you kind of feel that?
Yeah, you know, scrimmage one, didn't have a great day. You know, I felt like I'd been practicing well. And then in the scrimmage, just made a couple mistakes that, you know, I haven't been making in practice. A couple things that just I hadn't been doing, which was frustrating. And then a couple other things that happened in the scrimmage was just a kind of a frustrating day. But second scrimmage, I thought we played well. You know, I thought I played like I've been playing in practice, which was good to do that in a scrimmage setting. I'm excited that we're done with scrimmages so that I can be live again so we don't have the whistle blowing on. Sometimes I'm sick, sometimes I'm not. So, but it was good, yeah.
Hey, kind of take us back to May and your decision to leave Michigan State. Sort of, you know, what went into that and what was it about Auburn that made you comfortable to make that move?
Yeah, you know, I'll probably steer clear of talking about anything that happened at Michigan State. You know, it was a quick thing that happened. You know, if you would have asked me a week before I had committed or a week before I got in the portal if I was transferring, I would have been like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, but there's a few things that happened. And that went in the past of the whole off season. But then, you know, when I entered the portal, you know, talking with Coach Freeze, talking with the coaches here, you know, I thought it was a no-brainer to come here and I thought it was a great opportunity, and so far it's been great being down here.
Yeah, what was it about maybe his offenses, Coach Montgomery's offenses, that made you think, okay, this is a system I can maybe, you know, be successful with?
Yes, when I came down here on my visit, me and my dad were here for probably like 9 hours, and a lot of that was watching film and talking through the offense and, you know, seeing the players that we have, and that was all very encouraging. But Coach Freeze's offense, obviously he's had a lot of success with, you know, all types of quarterbacks. Last year, I think they got to their fourth string quarterback at some point, and they were still winning games. So, you know, just seeing that and seeing the way that he game plans and hearing about him as a play caller, and then Coach Montgomery as well, if you look at his track record, you know, his time at Baylor, his time at Tulsa, you know, he had explosive offenses ranked in the top, like, two in the country for, like, 3 years in a row or something like that. So it's fun for me to be able to play for an offensive head coach and to have a lot of people devoted to quarterback and quarterback development and all that stuff. So it's been good so far.
Hey, talk about your receivers, what you've seen from them. What do you feel like you've got there?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of new guys. You know, I think we got three transfers just from the summer, the same time I came. I think a couple more guys came in January, but then there's some guys that were here that are making plays too. So, you know, you got Var, you got Jay Fair, both guys playing the slot that can really move, make great catches, very athletic. You got guys like Shane Hooks, Jair, you know, Caleb Burton's in that mix of both inside and outside. You know, Nick Martiner playing on the outside, big body like Shane. You guys saw the catch Shane made in the scrimmage. You know, everyone talks about how big his hands are. He just makes plays and understands how to run routes and stuff like that. So I'm definitely missing a couple other guys, but I think we got a good collection of receivers.
How about Auburn? What makes Auburn so special? I know you've only been here for a short time, but everyone says something special about being on the Plains.
Yeah, like you said, I think I'm on like 3 months now being down here, but it's been great so far. I love it down here. This is my kind of place, my kind of people down here. Everybody's been very welcoming, and just good people. You know, people are just nicer down here. A lot of people say that. It feels like, you know, everybody's friendly. Seems like everybody goes to church, which is what I believe in. You know, and so it's been great. And everybody, since I've been down here, like I said, has been very welcoming.
Your dad, your granddad, football's been kind of thing. How valuable is that as a quarterback to have that kind of background and that kind of advice and those kinds of things?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, a big advantage to have that and to grow up around it. You know, I grew up around football my whole life. I was riding the team bus with my dad when I was like 5. You know, sitting watching film, sitting in meetings when I really didn't even know what was going on, but I was just hearing it. And so I was taught it at a young age. And then my dad, you know, he played quarterback too, so he's a coach and he was a quarterback. So getting to have that wealth of knowledge with those guys and the success that they had as coaches is definitely something that I'm very fortunate for and very, very thankful for.
Damari talked about meeting you on his visit to Michigan State back in the day. What can you say about the running back room, especially Damari in the offseason, what you've seen from them so far?
Yeah, I think our running back room is loaded. I think we have a number of guys that can go out there and get the job done. Obviously, Jarquez is a special player. I mean, you guys have seen that. In my short time practicing with him, I've seen that. And then I was able to work out with him in the summer and just get to know him a little bit. And so that was great. He's an awesome dude. Damari, also a great guy. He presents a unique set of skills. He can catch the ball. He's quick. He gets in and out of his cuts really well. And he's also, you know, just a good guy to be around. You know, Brian Batty or Betty, I don't even know how to say it yet still. He's a running back of his own, you know, in the way that his vision. Obviously, he's a smaller guy, but you know, sometimes he gets lost back there in the backfield, and all of a sudden, these little windows, he's able to really split through it. And then Jeremiah, you know, as a freshman, he's been making plays all fall, so I think we got a great running back room. Like I said, a bunch of great guys. And then, yeah, Damari. I met Damari in the fall. He was actually at my place for his business, so got to know him before getting down here.
Your numbers as a quarterback are significantly better when the team runs the football successfully. You know, what do you think might lead to something like that? Do you feel like this team's going to be able to run the football?
Yes, I do believe we'll be able to run the football. I think our offensive line definitely has that capability. I feel like they've shown that so far in the fall. Like I said, our running backs make plays. And, you know, I think if you look at my 2 years of playing, obviously, like you said, you know, we ran the ball better 2 years ago than we did last year. And a lot of things go into that, you know. Offensively, what you can and can't do depends on your personnel, really. And we had different personnel 2 years ago than we did last year. And it wasn't just the running back position. You know, we had different guys up front as well, different, you know, a lot of things play into that. And so, but yeah, I mean, if you just want to be straight about it, you know, my 2 years, my stats were better when we ran the ball, but, you know, there's a lot, you could look at that a lot of different ways. So I'm just focused on going and executing our offense.
Peyton, how different is this offense compared to what you ran at Michigan State? What are the biggest adjustments you had to make?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, everyone talks about the RPO, and that's definitely a big part of our offense. We did some RPO stuff at my last place, but not a ton. So people want to call Michigan State pro style. It's definitely, like, more, I guess you call it pro style than what we run here, but, you know, I feel like the pros are changing too, so you know, it's not just turn and hand it off anymore, I feel like. So it's obviously more spread offense here, more up-tempo. So all those things I've done a little bit of in the past. It just wasn't a staple of the offense I was in. So just getting used to it, talking to coach, trying to learn the best I can of what he wants and what he's looking for and what he's had success with in the past. And so you know, there's differences, some similarities, and like I said, I'm just trying to go play well.
What was that process of kind of just fitting into this team when you came later than everyone, not than everyone else, but by then, a lot of people getting in the ball, fitting into this new scheme, and also new teammates?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I wanted to do is just be myself. You know, I didn't want to come down here and try to be somebody else. Obviously, it's a different part of the country, a different conference. But I think if you go into a new place and try to be something you're not, everybody can tell that. And so I'll just try to come down here and do what I do and work hard and try to prove myself, you know, in our workouts first and then just getting to know guys. I feel like I've been able to do that and get to build some relationships, which has been great. But like I said, you know, just trying to be me and keep doing what I've been doing my whole life and what's got me here. So that's about it.
You ever spent any time in this part of the country before?
I used to vacation, like, my whole childhood down in Destin, Florida. So we would drive through here quite a bit, or drive through Alabama every year. But I've never, like, spent an extended amount of time in the state of Alabama until now. But I love it down here, and it's been great so far. So I've really enjoyed my time.
From your own eyes, what was that battle like between you and Robbie, and what role, if any, do you see for him going forward in this offense?
I thought it was good, healthy competition. You know, I don't think it was anything that was, you know, toxic or anything like that. Like sometimes quarterback competitions can be. I have a lot of respect for Robbie, and you know, we're still obviously talking still, and everything's good. But it was good competition, and as far as you know, the last part of the question, you know, that's not really up to me. I'm sure that. Coach will figure that out, and I'm going to leave that to him, and I'm just going to focus on executing what I need to when I'm in the game.
Peyton, what about your skill set translates into this offense? Like, what do you think you do well that works with this offense?
You know, I think I'm an accurate quarterback. I feel like that. I feel like, you know, I feel like when we've been going fast in my past, like 2-minute drill, I feel like we were efficient doing that. And so with up-tempo stuff, I feel like that was a plus in my game my last 2 years. And so just seeing defenses, diagnosing defenses, being able to think quick and process quickly is definitely something that you have to do in this offense. I feel like I'm able to do that. And so just now going out there and executing, like I talked about. So, you know, trying to perfect coach's offense and run the way he wants to.
Leadership and command are two words that Coach Freeze is saying why he won the job. How have those characteristics, leadership and command, helped you A, win the job, and B, gel with teammates?
You know, I think it goes back to, like I said, just being me and trying not to do too much. You know, some guys hear the word leadership and think that they have to, like, go yell at everybody or you know, do something crazy. You know, leadership comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes, and there's a lot of different ways of doing it. And so sometimes you do have to get on guys. Sometimes you just got to put your arm around a guy and whisper something to him, you know. But in terms of command, I think command comes back to just knowing your stuff. You know, I don't think you can command a room if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know the offense or you don't know how hard you're working and all that stuff. So just showing up every day, being consistent while also, you know, striving to be the best I can be and pushing myself first. I feel like if I just focus on those things, and you know, the leadership aspect is a whole different thing than command, I guess, in my eyes.
Peyton, it was mentioned to us that you showed up kind of with a book of everybody to try to learn their names. What was that, somebody give you advice to do that, or is it something you just came up on your own?
No, nobody gave me advice to do that. It's just, you know, like you said, leadership. I feel like I don't think you can really lead within an organization if you don't know most people's names. You know, if you walk past someone in the hallway, I just feel uncomfortable if I don't know their name. And you know, I'd be lying if I said I know everybody's name already. So I'm still trying to learn everybody. But it's just like, it's a weird feeling. I don't like, you know, working with people when I don't know their name. I feel like that's disrespectful in a way. If you don't know someone's name, you know, it's never good. If you're talking with somebody, you don't think they know your name. So just trying to do that and get to know people, and I guess getting to know somebody starts with their name.
So you had a notebook with like mugshots
of
everything?
Mugshots. Yeah, it was a little stapled sheet. It was probably like four or five pages or so. It pretty much was everybody's mugshot. But it was their name, what they do, and their phone number. So that was useful too, to have people's phone numbers.
Was that something that you did at Michigan State, or was this like a first time thing doing that?
I had asked for that at Michigan State, and it was never really given to me. And that's not, you know, I'm not trying to hate on anybody. Yeah. Just we didn't get around to it, or didn't have everybody's picture or something. But I was there for 4 years, so I pretty much learned everybody's name. It was kind of the new people, like the student managers that are out there, because those guys cycle in and out pretty quick, and just trying to, you know, have their name taken.
On the subject of Robbie, you know, when you hear Coach Freeze say things like, you know, Peyton's going to have to keep playing really well because Robbie is doing so well in scrimmages and practices, how much sort of positive pressure is that to have a guy that you know is playing well behind you? How much does that sort of help you, you know, stay on top of the game?
Yeah, I don't think that matters personally, because you're already thinking that yourself. It's not like you get the job and it's like, oh, now I can relax and do nothing. You know, you're still playing. You're still trying to play well. And I'm focused on playing well for our team to win games. You know, I'm not trying to play well to keep my job. You know, I don't think that's, if you're looking at it like that, it's kind of like why you playing. You know, you don't play just to keep your job. You play to win. And so I'll be working as hard as I've ever worked right now. There's no relaxing or, you know, just chilling. You know, we got a big season ahead of us with a lot of great opponents. So I've always thought I need to be on my game, so that doesn't change. And that's the mindset I'll take.
About, like, at Michigan State, you get to play, like, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. What's one team you're looking at this season that you're, like, I'm pumped to play team?
I mean, there's a lot of teams I'm excited to play, but honestly, the most exciting game is going to be the first one, just to get in our stadium and see what it's like to play in front of our crowd. Like you said, you know, I played in front of big crowds before, so that's not new. Playing big games before, but I'm excited to get to play against the opponents that we play in our division and in this conference. And you know, I think it's going to be an exciting season with a lot of fun environments.
When you're looking at teams, potential destinations, and you look at it's not how much Hugh Freeze wanted to improve the passing game, quarterback play, receiver, offensive line, everything. How much of a big deal was that? You know, it's emphasized. It's something they want to do well, better.
Like coming here, you're saying?
Yeah, how much is that when you're looking at, you know, a team needs help with the pass game? You know, I mean, how much did you look at the offensive stats and everything?
I didn't really look at the offensive stats much from last year. I knew that it was kind of a tough year just as a team. You know, I heard things when I got here about what they did with the old staff and the old team, but, you know, I wasn't really focused on that. I was more looking at Coach Freeze's past statistics of the guys that he's been working with, and same with Coach Montgomery, and it seemed like they were doing good stuff, and obviously both of them have great track records, so that's what I was focused on. I wasn't focused on, you know, last year's stats here, I guess, because it was a completely different staff.
You got a deep group of tight ends. What can you tell us about the guys in that room? Anyone particularly you've bonded with, hit it off with?
Yeah, it's been great. I feel like I've grown pretty close with all those guys, gotten to spend some good time with all of them. And, you know, Valdo was one of the first guys I met when I got here. Tyler Fromm, same thing. Luke Deal, I think I met him on my visit. So all those guys, Big Frage, you know, got to hang out with him in the summer a little bit too. So all good guys, all good players. They all have different skill sets that are all going to contribute to what we're doing on offense. So I think we got a good one at tight end as well.
Hey, what's your relationship been with Freeze since you got here? He's talked about being the practice jerk a little bit and trying to motivate guys, encourage them, but motivate them. What specifically has your relationship been with him when you're watching film and he's kind of pushing you?
I think it's been good. You know, obviously, like I said before, it's different having an offensive head coach, and especially someone who's called plays before. You know, it's not just me and my offensive coordinator anymore. It's not just me, old coordinator, and head coach, you know, all seeing the same stuff. So I think it's been good. You know, I expect coach to push me. You know, I feel like that's definitely something that he's going to do and going to continue to do. But I feel like it's been good. You know, I love everything coach is preaching. I believe in what coach is preaching. And so I think our relationship will just continue to grow and, you know, move in a positive direction.
How does that work, I guess, from the standpoint of, like, Hugh Freeze, you know, obviously having a big quarterback background, but Philip Montgomery going to be the main play caller. So from working with both of them, I guess, who do you spend more time with, or kind of what does that coaching look like from both of them, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I would say I spend more time with Coach Montgomery just because Coach Freeze has different responsibilities as a head coach. You know, he's doing different stuff in the summer with different people. So, you know, the head coach obviously is going to have a little bit more tighter schedule than the offensive coordinator. That's everywhere. So, got to spend a good time with Coach Montgomery and learn about, you know, what he's looking at and what he thinks play calling wise and stuff like that. But I've also got to spend good time with Coach Freeze too at times and learn the same stuff from him. So, you know, as we spend more time together, we'll get more comfortable with each other and what everybody's looking at. So I think it's been good so far.
Peyton, what'd you graduate in at Michigan State, and what are you studying here at home?
What was that, sorry?
What'd you graduate in at Michigan State? What are you studying here at home?
I graduated, I majored in communications and got a business minor, so nothing exciting. And here I'm taking, like, I'm not getting my master's or anything. I'm taking, like, a coaching class. And, I don't even know what the other two classes are, but you know, it's early in the semester, but I'll take care of my grades. I'm not worried about that.
I know you got 2 years of eligibility left. Was your plan to come here and play 1 year or 2 years, or what was sort of your plan coming in?
You know, I didn't think too much about that. I'm just trying to play well and put myself in an opportunity to, you know, hopefully have a decision at the end of the season, because that would mean that things went well for us as a team. So that's my focus, is just to go out there and play well and win games. You know, when you win games, everything else takes care of itself. So that's my focus, and you know, I think we got a team that can win some games for sure.
Hey, about three or four more.
I think some quarterbacks are really goal-oriented, some aren't. Are you a goal-oriented guy? And if so, what are those goals that you're, like, trying to strive for this season?
I would say I have goals, but it's more like daily goals and, like, weekly goals than it is long-term goals. You know, like I just said, my goal is to win as many games as we can, and you know, I've seen that in my own career the last 2 years. When you win games, everything's great. When you don't win games, everything's not so great. And so, you know, my goal is just to win as many games as we can, and to expect to win every time we walk out there. And I believe that starts with your preparation. And so that goes to the daily and the weekly goals of being prepared every week for when we step on the field, and for me personally, when I take that snap behind center. Knowing that I've done everything I can to be best prepared for that game, mentally, physically, emotionally, you know, all that stuff. And so that's all I would say.
Is your mentality, I guess, have to be different, especially you and a lot of the transfers, when you're coming, you know, this is your second school, or you're coming here and it's a tumultuous time at Auburn, it's Hugh Freeze's first year, and you're kind of trying to establish something, maybe even for something that's going to last after you're gone. I guess, what mentality do you have with this? Is it different than high school, or different than maybe when you were at Michigan State?
In terms of, like, trying to prove something?
Or just trying to, like, build something for maybe, you know, because maybe you have to build something that, you know, the championships come after you here.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
What's kind of your mentality, or how do you attack that, you and the transfers?
Yeah, you know, you always want to leave a legacy wherever you're at, and you always want to leave a place better than you found it, you know, whether that's you sit down and eat at a table, or when you
you know, when you show up and play football games. So my focus is just, you know, coming in and, like I said, you know, it revolves around winning. And there's a lot of things that go into winning. But, you know, when you win, people remember you. When you win a lot of games, people really remember you. So, you know, doing everything I can to put myself in a good position for success, which ultimately helps our team succeed. And so, you know, you leave a legacy by doing things the right way, by working hard. And so that's what I'm focused on. And I believe that if I can accomplish that, then good things will come from that. But, you know, I'll leave all that to everybody else to kind of decide.
Anything else?
Is there, I mean, the pressure, not pressure may not be the right word, but the responsibility for an SEC quarterback, whoever it is, wherever it is pretty immense. How do you deal with that?
Absolutely. You know, obviously it's a big responsibility. You know, we have a huge fan base. We have a lot of people that put a lot of time into this football program, a lot of people that care a lot about it. So I take that responsibility very seriously. And, you know, I care about it more than anybody. I definitely understand the position that I'm in, and I'm blessed and thankful for that. And I think the best way to deal with that pressure is just to, you know, for me and what I believe in is, you know, I believe that my Heavenly Father's in control. And, you know, if I turn everything over to Him, then, you know, I'll be at peace with whatever happens. You know, as long as I do everything I can, you know, I'm gonna work as hard as I can. But that's where my peace comes from, and that's where all the pressure kind of, you're able to deal with pressure that way. If you have something to fall back on, and I definitely, you know that that's the most important thing in my life, and I believe that if I just focus on that, you know, everything will fall into place, as well as, you know, working my butt off every day, which I can promise you I'm gonna do.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thanks,
Ben. Thanks, guys. I'm Philip Marsham. I talked to your dad
last
week.
Nice.
Event, which is going on. So he'll be back tomorrow. But our thanks to Jason, who was with us for the first hour. Hopefully you got a chance to hear that. If you missed any of it, you can check out the podcast. Anywhere you get podcasts, and they are brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the Drive text box, which is 334-564-1840. Hour number two just getting underway here on the Wednesday Drive, and the second hour brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And you can give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. As we talked a little bit in the first hour, an opportunity today to talk with some players, a half a dozen, as a matter of fact, Auburn players, including Peyton Thorne. Auburn's starting quarterback was named, I guess it was, it was 6 days ago, last Thursday, when we were there, when it was confirmed by Hugh Freeze that Peyton Thorne would be the starting quarterback. We've got some audio from Peyton. We're going to let you hear. Again, we'd love to hear from you. If we're running some of the audio from Peyton, I think we'll run as much of it as we can here in just a little while. But if we get calls, we can take breaks in that. I've got some audio with Jay Fair, the Auburn the young Auburn receiver who has had such a good fall. He and Javarius Johnson really competing. And I think you'll see both of them play quite a bit there at the slot receiver. As a matter of fact, we talked to Peyton, talked to Jay about the receivers, talked to Nehemiah Pritchard about the receivers as well. And they all mentioned the same names. We've been talking about that. But, I mean, Jay Fair, Javarius Johnson at the slot, Caleb Burton at the slot, as well as outside where Shane Hollywood Hooks has been really the talk lately. He really has come on and played well over the fall camp. But other guys that Jay talked about with his receivers, you know, with Shane, he also mentioned Shane and Nick Marder and Caleb Burton, and said, you know, there's Amari Kelly and Jair Shorter. So, I mean, that appears to be your eight right now, as we wait and see if, you know, can Coy Moore and Malcolm Johnson just be healthy enough to be out there consistently to try to earn more playing time as well. But yeah, we've got audio from Peyton. We have some audio from Jay Fair that we can run for you. I also have audio from Nehemiah Pritchett. We also were able to spend some time with punter Oscar Chapman, who talked about the surprisingly explosive leg of Alex McPherson, said he hit a 63-yard field goal during when they were going live the other day. So, you know, not just sitting there kicking against nobody, that's with a rush, hit a 63-yard. Yeah, McPherson, a ridiculously strong leg for a diminutive guy. He's listed at 5'9", 154. Speaking of size, all right, when we were talking with Nehemiah Pritchett, I asked him about some of the young guys, and, you know, he talked about Kay Lee is what he calls him. Kay and Lee, he called him Kay, but mentioned J.C. Hart and Colton Hood. When he was asked about Champ Anthony, the young transfer who came in, he said he's got all the ability. Just said he just needs to put on a little weight. And I said to Nehemiah, well, he can relate to that, because when Nehemiah Pritchett came out of high school, he was under 160 pounds. And then Philip Marshall asked him what he was now, and he said 188. So, yeah, Nehemiah is solid. Auburn should be in great shape in the secondary. I know we've talked about concerns against stopping the run, but, I mean, I don't know anybody that has more experience and guys that I think they can make plays like Auburn does in the secondary with Nehemiah Pritchett, DJ James, Jalen Simpson, Keontae Scott, and Zion Puckett. I mean, that is a strong secondary. When you've got guys like Donovan Kaufman and Marquise Gilbert and the young corners we talked about, Caleb Wooden, who's played very well, pushing for playing time at nickel, Auburn's got a great situation there in the secondary. Am I leaving anybody else out? Let's see. Avery Jones was another player that was there for the media to talk with today. The center who has become the anchor of the offensive line, an offensive line that everyone on the team, I mean, we have not spoken to anyone, player or coach, who doesn't think that this is going to be a better than solid, a good, maybe very good offensive line, and feels like they're going to be able to run the ball. If anyone can run the ball, they feel like they will be able to run it behind this offensive line. It'll be interesting to see. Does it continue with too tall Miller, Isaiah Miller there at the right tackle, and Gunnar Britton at left guard? Or do they go with another combination? They've got quite a few options, but it looks like that's the way they're leaning now with transfers in Dylan Wade and Gunnar Britton. Well, actually, you'd go your center and left side would all be transfers with Dylan Wade, Gunnar Britton, and Avery Jones. Cam Stutz appears to be anchoring the right side at guard, and then Too Tall Miller, the junior college transfer, at right tackle. So there's a very strong possibility that four of your starting five there on the offensive line are going to be newcomers this year. So, yeah, so those are some of the guys we got a chance to talk with today, as this is the only media opportunity for us until next Monday, when Hugh Freeze has the first of his weekly press conferences. So we'll let you hear some of that as we move on through. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, sports-wise, 334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our first break. And if we don't have calls, we'll let you hear some of the time that we had with Auburn starting quarterback Peyton Thorne here on the Wednesday Drive.
Hey, guys.
Georgia, Alabama, and LSU on one end, and the other three non-conference games other than Cal. You can sort of, and Cal should be a game that Auburn should win. But, I mean, the other three, if Auburn doesn't win the other three, then you go, what, my goodness, what in the world happened? So you got three that are going to be very tough, three that you ought to win, and then you've got the other six. And he said that's the way he looks at it. The tough three, the easy three, and then the middle six. It's what you do in those middle six. Well, first of all, in the six games against the tough three and the easier three, you have to go at least 3-3. Even if you lose the three tough games, win the three easy games, that's what people expect you to do. If you do better than that, then you've got a chance to really step it up. But, I mean, when you're talking, you know, Texas A&M and Arkansas and the Mississippi schools and Cal and Vandy, those are the six. You go 3-3 in those, you're bowl eligible. You're 6-6. I think Auburn does better than that, but that's what you're looking at. So, yeah, it's hard for me to imagine somebody thinking Auburn's going to be 1-7 in the conference. Do they not think that Hugh Freeze can coach, or do they think that the talent he's brought in isn't going to be able to compete? We'll start finding out. And as far as the four most important games, I mean, you'd usually look at the three toughest games, but I don't know if they're the most important right now to getting things turned around. The first one I would think would be Cal. You definitely need to go out to the West Coast, win that ball game. The next one I would think is A&M. Because A&M still, I mean, they haven't done it yet, but they have brought in some talent. And the game's going to be out there. I know Auburn's played very well out there. But you go out there and lose, and you're like, it's going to be another one of those up and down. I mean, and I'm not saying that if you win it, it's going to be a double-figure win year, but you win that one, and you feel like, yeah, you're really on the track. That's going to be a tough, tough task out there. But yeah, that's a good point. Good question about the four, how did he describe it? Most important games, four key games, I guess is the way you do it. Tell you what we'll do. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we'll let you hear some more of the interview with QB1 Peyton Thorne here on the Wednesday Drive. Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio on this Wednesday. Before we get to Jason, let me explain a little something for those of you that listen or are listening to the podcast. Well, if you're listening to the podcast, it's already happened. No, but here's the way. Because of our equipment, when we have audio and we run some of these interviews, it runs through the same equipment that we record the podcast on. So it can't be recording the audio that we're letting you hear on the radio. So what we're doing now, what Drew has done today, and we will be doing, is plugging audio in after the fact on the podcast. Now, what he did today, is the entire interview with Peyton Thorne was played before we've gotten to this point. Now, in real time, we're going to try to run a little more of the Peyton Thorne interview, but if you want to hear the whole thing, you can go to the podcast and check it out after I introed it a little while ago, because we have calls right now, and we're going to get to them first, as we always do, on the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Jason is up first. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Bill. I know you got to get the Peyton interview right quick, but
I just got
one quick question. On an interview, I heard them talking about the running back room with Damari and Hunter and Brian and the Fred. But I really hadn't heard anything about Sean Jackson. Is he in the rotation? Is he going to get any playing time? Because I know every time I see a scrimmage or practice, I heard he's just running over people and stuff, and I just didn't know where he stood.
He is definitely in the picture. I mean, he's the different type back. He's more the bull, at 5'9", 235 or something like that. He is the short yardage guy, but he's more than a short yardage guy. He's got a little bit of speed as well, catches the ball well, so he's in there. It's just such a deep room that when anybody starts talking, they start going, well, here's your number one guy. Here's the guy that's pushing him. Here's the freshman coming in. Batee is the specialty guy and kick returner. And, yes, there's Sean, too. So, I mean, Auburn's just extremely fortunate they're as deep as they are there in that running back room. Appreciate the call, Jason. Back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Jerry is next. Hey, Jerry.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Listen, all this prediction of games, you know, that hadn't happened yet. I mean, nobody knows.
No, you're right.
That's when they play the games. And, you know, anything could happen. I've seen Auburn lose games they should have won. And
no
I've
question.
Seen them lose, win games they should have lost.
Absolutely.
So, you know, let's wait and see what happens.
It's fun to do, and it's sometimes it's fun to read. Sometimes it's frustrating to read. But, I mean, it's something that everybody's used to. And, you know, some teams use that as motivation. And Auburn definitely can use some of these things for motivation.
Well, that's true. And, you know, this Auburn team is totally new. It has nothing to do with last year.
Oh, absolutely right.
All right. That's all I had.
All right, Jerry. Thanks for the call. 334-321-1390. Yeah, while we've got a little time.